Wow, how majestic is our Lord in all the earth. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, we pray your spiritual authority in this place, that your words would be spoken and awaken us anew to your truth. We wait in expectation for you, Lord. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So our holy gospel tonight comes from the book of Luke, the gospel of Luke, and we are in the second chapter. And in this chapter, we find four characters who are looking to the great Messiah to come and fix everything. We find Simeon, a holy priest, who according to the message's interpretation of Luke 2, was a man who lived in prayerful expectancy for the help of Israel. You see, the Holy Spirit rested on him and told him that he would behold the Messiah, the one who is going to come and fix everything. And so he lived in prayerful expectancy for the great fixer. In our gospel, we also find Anna. Anna is a woman who spent every day in the temple fasting and praying. And you see, the Jews, they were the chosen ones of Israel. They were oppressed by the Romans, and the Romans were terrorists. They were violent oppressors. The Israelites could not understand why God would have them captive to these Romans who did not even worship the one true God. So Anna fasted and prayed for the one who is going to come and fix everything. We also find Mary, and this is Mary 40 days after she gave birth to Jesus. In the tradition, the Jewish tradition, it was one of their laws that 40 days after a woman gave birth, she was considered unclean if she gave birth to a boy, 80 days unclean if she gave birth to a girl. And in that process, if you were to talk to her in this time of uncleanliness, you too would be seen as unclean. And so 40 days after Mary gives birth to Jesus, she goes to the temple in Jerusalem and she gives a sacrifice. Now, Mary couldn't afford the lamb as a sacrifice, and so she gives two turtle doves. And that is, first of all, she's consecrating Jesus to God, to the Lord, and sacrificing so that she can once again be clean, that she can be fixed and brought back into community. So here we have Mary, we have Joseph, we have Simeon, we have Anna, and we have the baby Jesus. Baby Jesus, the great one who is going to come and fix everything. But how could this tiny body, this little baby, fix anything? We fast forward 33 years, and this baby, now a man, hangs on a cross for our sake. And the disciples are wondering, how is he going to fix anything? He was supposed to be the Messiah, the one. Maybe you're sitting in your seat right now, wondering when God is going to come and fix some things in your life. Maybe there's some relationships that need mending. Maybe there's places in your heart that need tending. Maybe there's illness in your body that you really don't even know there is a fix for it. This baby in the temple, the man on the cross, died. And yet that isn't the end of the story. And yet in these moments, we see pieces of the kingdom of God breaking through and giving us a glimpse of what wholeness looks like, what healing and restoration feels like. We get a taste of redemption. In the Gospel of Luke, we read this: when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Holy Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many may be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years before her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple but worshiped there, with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Holy God, we pray that you would move and speak to our hearts in this space, that we would see you anew, and that we would be transformed. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So here we are in the temple. We have Simeon holding this baby and literally seeing salvation, holding the peace of the world, the one who's come to fix everything. And in all of it, he is in awe and praising God. Can you remember the last moment that you've had where you were just in utter awe, where you were just half crying and laughing and in awe of what God was doing? Psalm 8 says, "Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens through the praise of your children and infants. You have established a stronghold against your enemies to the silence, the foe, and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. All flocks and herds, the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky, and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." In these moments, the kingdom of God breaks through, and you can see, you can taste, you can feel the redemption of God. It's always fleeting, but it's for that one moment you feel seen. You feel known. You feel loved by this amazing God. I have been having a few of those moments lately. I don't know about you, but this Advent season had been very difficult for me. If it was difficult for you as well, you're not alone. For me, when I was at a young age, I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. And when I was very young, I would tell my mom that I had a headache in my hands and my knees. Once I grew up and became a teenager, I was put on heavy medication just so that I could move and dance, and that was very helpful. And I have been so blessed with a season of health and freedom in my body. But this Advent season, this December, everything turned on its head. I found it hard to even hold my body up some days. And I was wondering, Lord, where are you? There's one day when I was sitting in my car and I was on my way to work and I was just lamenting. As a dancer, as a person that does modern dance as a profession, to think of not moving, to think of moving with excruciating pain for the rest of my days was terrifying. And so I was sitting in my car and I was lamenting, God, just help me get through these next 3 hours. Be my strength, be my courage, be my help. I need you. And as I sat there, this song came on the radio. Have you ever tried your best and not succeed? Have you got what you want but not what you need? So tired but you can't sleep, feel stuck in reverse. Lights will guide you home and ignite your bones, and I will fix you. In that moment in my car, in my little Toyota Camry, I'm like crying and just having this holy space with God because I felt seen. I felt like my pain was known and God was with me. And it wasn't a promise that I was going to be fixed or that I was going to be healed or that I would not feel any pain, but it was a promise that God was with me, beside me. This is the promise that God gives to us. And then out of nowhere, two turkeys came and crossed the road. And I don't know what the turkeys mean, but I know that in that moment, I felt known by God. Who am I to be known by God? Our God is our great deliverer, our great fixer. And one day will come again and there will be no more tears. And there will be no more pain, no more arthritis, no more addiction, no more cancer or heartache, doubt, brokenness. The end of the story is that we rise with Jesus. Simeon, Anna, Mary, and Joseph, they experienced a piece of that. They experienced what it means to look in the face of salvation. We are not looking for a fix to our problems. We are looking for the one who can fix. In those holy moments, we get a glimpse of what it means for God to love the whole world, including us, including you. What does it look like? What does it feel like? The moment where the messy manger and the eternal and the holy collided with the ordinary and the broken. God loved the whole world so much that he gave his son for us. Who are we to be known by God, to be loved by God, to be in this relationship with God? God who gave up everything to enter into our brokenness, into our pain, our reality, and continues to break through, does not give up. God says, I know you. I know the number of hairs on your head. I know the pain in your heart. I know the insecurity and doubt that haunts you. I know the temptation that grips you. I know the hunger of love and redemption that consumes you. I am the God who knit you in your mother's womb. I am the God who went to hell and back so that you would know and believe that I did all of this because I love you. I want you to experience and taste my goodness, my love, my redemption, and my grace on this side of eternity. Because what I give will not be taken away by illness or pain or even death itself. I give living water. I give bread of life. I give grace upon grace upon grace. My love, it changes you, and you're never the same. My peace, it holds you, and your spirit will be immovable. Keep your heart open. Be prayerfully expectant for these moments because they are happening all around us. Last month, I was going to church with one of my dear friends. She didn't want to go alone. And she's having a battle, some health issues, and as she was in worship, her hands were raised, and I know that it hurts her to raise her hands, but there she is, swimming deep in the Spirit, arms raised, and she sings, who walks on the water? Who speaks to the sea? Who stands in the fire beside me? He roars like a lion. He bled like the lamb. He carries my healing in his hands. There's no way you could keep from crying. In that moment, I saw her holding the lamb in her heart. I saw the lion roaring on her behalf. She was known by God. The suffering servant was walking with her through the fire. The creator of the universe was sustaining her, and the love she was experiencing could not be taken from her. Cancer could not steal it. Pain could not dilute it. The devil himself could not move it. God's peace was immovable. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, Jenny, that's a great story. And Jenny, I have been a Lutheran or a Christian or spiritual all my life, and I've never had cancer or arthritis. I haven't had a moment where I've felt that or experienced that. Dear friends, Jesus is not just for people who are suffering and struggling with arthritis and cancer. We are not the only ones who know or are known by God. You who are righteous, who are healthy, who are strong, you too are known by God. In this moment and in this space, just as you sit, you are known and you are seen and you are loved. Anna and Simeon, they were righteous people. They fasted and they prayed in the temple every day, and they were still in awe at that glimpse of redemption they saw in Jesus. These moments are just as much for you. Those moments of awe, of holy, make us feel a little more loved, a little more seen, a little more of who we were created to be. As children of God, these moments, Jesus is our birthright. It is in these holy spaces we taste redemption and we witness the goodness of God. Who are we that you are mindful of us? I pray this week and this coming new year that your hearts would be open, your minds would be open, and you would remember whose you are. I pray that your soul would believe, would know, that you would experience being seen and being loved. The fullness of God is yours. Thanks be to God.